Beautiful rendition. I love that song. Welcome indeed to our visitors. Extra special music. Welcome indeed. Happy Sabbath day to you all. I really appreciated the first message. And I almost concluded that Darren said it all, and I couldn't add much to it, so I might as well just go ahead and sit down. But no, I might be able to add a few words, saying the same thing perhaps in a different context. We have recently gone through the yearly Passover service of self-exam, and we follow that up with the days of unleavened bread to put sin out. And this day is the last of those 7 days that we do this. The overriding message during these days is one of putting out the old and replacing it with the new. This message today is entitled Assimilation. I'm going to point out the imperative that we must assimilate into the family of God. A Christian's whole life is one of change, of being changed into something other than what we were. In a sense, we are indeed assimilating by changing and becoming the family of God. We must assimilate if we expect to become like God. God is not like we are. God is not like this world. We have to grow into that. And that's the purpose for our being here, for our keeping these days. Webster's Dictionary defines this word assimilate to mean to assimilate oneself to new surroundings, to become absorbed into a society, to become like that society, by assimilation. So it means that they take on the predominant cultures and values of the new country, like migrants coming in. It means to become one of them. They give up their old life so they can put on the new life. They can change into the nature of their new country and what that country represents to the rest of the world. Talking about immigration. To not assimilate would mean that they hang on to their old cultures, to their old values. They bring it with them. Their old customs, their old religions. But that problem of hanging on to one's old, previous ways has a poignant message for us and everybody. And that's what this message is about, really. There's some very obvious parallels between the act of national assimilation and our assimilating into the kingdom of God, the family of God. Many people come to this nation just for the freebies. They like the handouts, but they do not want to become part of America. They want to hang on to what they brought with them, their cultures, their values, their religion. Immigration is good, but it needs to be controlled. And there are means in place, at least used to be. If they did not assimilate, they were not welcome. It used to be that when immigrants were brought into America, they first passed through Ellis Island, were taught American history, they were taught our Constitution, and they had to make a pledge to uphold that Constitution, obey the laws of the land, and be good citizens speaking our language. Knowing it or not, they were following biblical examples set down thousands of years ago without even knowing it. I'll cover that later. But when people do not assimilate, they become an opposing force to the nation they are coming into, migrating into. Some non-assimilating people have become jihadists who made attacks back in Paris a while back. You might remember that. And then in Brussels, Belgium, at the airport, they killed 32 people. And in the current prophecy for today, quoted a report from Belgian Interior Minister Jan Jambon, which said, a significant part of the Muslim population celebrated those attacks. They were out dancing in the streets because of those attacks. And he blamed the country's policy for failing to integrate these migrants. Now, when you fail to integrate, you fail to assimilate. Assimilation was not required, so they did not assimilate. That assimilation process must have the ability to reject and remove those who do not comply. For us to become a future son of God, we must assimilate. We must change our lifestyle, our previous convictions, our previous concept of God, of what the Bible means, and review what God now expects with us. Paul hammered this point home. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Paul was instructing the Ephesians here. I'm going to read this, Ephesians 4, verse 17, out of the English Standard Version. Ephesians 4, 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves to sensuality, greedy practice of every kind of impurity. Verse 20. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belonged to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That is a picture of assimilation. When we put off the old man and put on the new, we are assimilating and becoming a new person. That's a refreshing thought. Swapping out our old carnal nature for a godly one. And as Paul taught the Ephesians, so he taught the Colossians. Let's look at Colossians 3. Next book over. Colossians 3 and verse 9. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, for you have put off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self. This is the new being which God, its creator, is constantly renewing in his own image in order to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. We cannot become something unless we know where we're going, what that something is and what it means and what it is. We learn about it and thereby become and grow towards in relationship to God. That's assimilation. We cannot become the new without casting off the old. Even before we become a member of God's family through baptism, We have to show God that we're trying. We're willing to change. We start putting out sin. Start obeying the commandments, keeping the Sabbath. We can't bring our old habits and customs into the church along with us and become what God expects us to be. Those values are inconsistent with and incompatible with, contrary to God's values. They do not and never will mix. It's one or the other. That's what's meant by putting new wine into the old flask. New wine is in a state of change. It is expanding. It is fermenting. If you put it in an old flask that's hard and rigid, it's going to break. So they put new wine into an old flask, into a new flask. Now we put it in bottles today, but back then that was the meaning. That's what why they did this. The new and the old do not mix. Today, with assimilation and with these holy days, we are following the command that God laid down a long time ago. Let's go clear back to Exodus. Exodus 23. Familiar chapter during these days. Exodus 23, I'm going to start in verse 15. Exodus 23:15. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. We came out of the old way. That old way of Egypt, picturing, as Darren pointed out, this world. Something we have to come out of. We cannot come out of something at the same time bring it in with us. Don't work that way. And none shall appear before me empty, referring to the offertory that we just took up. Turn ahead to the next verse, 16 here, the first part of that. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor which you have sown in the field. Now this feast of harvest refers to Pentecost. And notice that it is described as bringing in the first fruits of our labors. Work has been done so that we might reap later. We recommit to God at Passover. We are taught to be required to put out sin by the days of unleavened bread. And then we're given 7 weeks, a practice period. Go do it. Don't stop now just because the day is over. We've got a 7-week period here, actually 6 as of next Sunday. And that's kind of a fair rendition of being rewarded for our works. The first fruits are given after a period of time. We commit to God, we put out sin, and then we work at it for 6-7 weeks now. And then we're rewarded with more of God's Holy Spirit, picturing the days of Pentecost, the pouring out of God's Spirit. Assimilating, becoming more like God. Assimilation is not something new. God very clearly states it as being required of those who came into the company of his people, even in the Old Testament times. Turn back to Genesis 17. We'll cover that here. Genesis 17. Starting in verse 12. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in your house or bought with money from any stranger which is not your descendant. If you were considered one of God's people, they needed to do this. Slaves now brought in from other countries were subject to the laws and customs of God. All of God's ways, all of God's commands were required to be kept with them as well as his people. Let's turn ahead to Exodus 12, back there again. Exodus 12, verse 19. Exodus 12, verse 19. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, even that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native in the land. Total and complete assimilation was required. They became one of them. They did not bring in their old ways and force it on the Israelites. No, they changed to become an Israelite. Or else, they were not considered one of God's people. There was a very profound distinction between God's people and who is not. We're not God's people. Same chapter, verse 43, Exodus 12:43. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no outsider eat of it. Outsider, I think the old King James says stranger, but that word there is nekar, N-E-K-A-R, a foreigner, a heathen, an alien, not an Israelite. Verse 44, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat of it. Now this servant means it's a bondman, a bond servant, a bought and paid for slave, manservant. They were not free to leave. They were actually considered part of the family. They weren't looked down on as slaves, as history points out for the nation here. They were respected. They were part of the family. They were hired hands in that sense, but they were not free to leave. They were part of the family. And as such, they assimilated. Verse 45, a foreigner or a sojourner, any hired servant shall not eat thereof. Now, a hired servant is one that's just hired to do the job. When the job is done, he leaves. He's not required to stay. A foreigner, they just pass through. Not part of God's people. Verse 46, in one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house. No part of this meal was to be given or shared with any outsider. You shall break, nor shall you break one of its bones, picturing that sacrifice as being Christ. None of his bones. They were showing, but they were not broken. And that points to that head. Verse 47, all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger sojourns with you and wants to keep the Passover. Now this is a willing acceptance of joining the Israelites. Okay, I will become one of you. I want to keep the Passover. They're doing it willingly. It's a willingness to wholly participate. Let all his meals be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. One line, one law. Verse 49, one law shall be to the native born, and for the stranger that sojourns or enjoins themselves to you. But they either had to assimilate, or they were not considered part of the family, did not participate. The story of Ruth and Naomi, that is a beautiful story about assimilation. Now turn there. Ruth, first chapter. Now, it's evident that Naomi had already set a godly example before her daughters-in-law. Ruth picked up on that and was willing to forego any of her former religious attachments. But the other daughter-in-law, as we see, chose not to. Book of Ruth, first chapter, verse 15. Naomi speaking, and she said, look, talking to Ruth. Your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. She did not take on the new God. She kept her old religion. Who you worship is part of assimilation. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth saw what Naomi had and wanted that for herself through Naomi's example. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. That is pure assimilation. Becoming one. Becoming a like entity of who you are joined to. You become one of them in culture, value, and religion. You know, America was the most sought after nation on earth because of our blessings. More people desire to come to America and seek the American dream than any other place on earth. Most of America's early settlers were indeed immigrants. They came and they became the nation that God wanted them to be. God was keeping his promise given to through Jacob, or Israel, to his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh being of the single great nation that we have come from. And I dare say that most of our founding fathers indeed had some ties with the tribe of Manasseh. All of them were considered, for the most part, Judean Christians, although some kept Sunday, some had different beliefs, but they were Christian people. God brought them here, and he formed a nation through these people, and blessed it with a religious foundation. But now we see history repeating itself and that foundation being destroyed. The people have forsaken our God for idols of greed, immorality, following the dictates of the world without assimilating into godly morals. So often a younger generation will cast off the teachings of their peers and will not grow into appreciating and continuing the lessons that their parents and their fathers gave them. We see it in business so much. A father will build up a business, turn it over to the son, and the son squanders it. Don't follow the hard work and the ethics that it takes to continue it on. They squander it. And it happens to nations as well. Families. Industry. Time after time in biblical history, Israel and Judah failed what they were told, what their fathers had taught them. And so it is with America today. Nothing's new. What goes around comes around. America has thrown off godly conduct and now has even passed laws legalizing immoral marriage. Christianity itself is under attack. Yes, even right here in good old hometown Alabama. Starting in educational institutions all over, businesses. Recent news about Target and what they're doing with their bathroom laws. And even now, construction is underway in London and New York to build worship arches to Moloch and Baal. That's who we decided to worship now. We're going after Moloch and Baal in New York and London, and there are more planned around the nation. It is a sad situation. The heavy influx of mosques is rapidly changing the very fabric of our social life in America. In some places in this nation, the cops are afraid to go there. They're not welcome there, and they better stay out, and they know it. America is not what it used to be. Illegal immigration is destroying our social system, overburdening our economic capacity to support them and our own people at the same time. And it is happening because we do not require assimilation. So they refuse to assimilate. Why assimilate if you don't have to? We'll bring our own ways in here. Settle in and hey, we're taking over now. True immigration is a good thing. Non-assimilating immigrants are a disaster because they then impose their values on the people that they are invading. That's why God told those in the Old Testament to get those people out of here. Get rid of them. Do not assimilate with them. Make them assimilate with you. If they do not assimilate with the Israelites, then the Israelites have to go their ways. God says, don't do that. Don't get involved with them. Don't marry them. Don't intermarry. Make them assimilate or you're not one of my people. When a person, their family, or a nation turn from God, the result is always disaster. For the Israelites to assimilate with them, which did happen, by the way. Yeah. They brought them in, they kept their old ways, and it was a big, big trouble. But that is a profound lesson for us as God's people. We must assimilate into the family of God. We're not there yet. We're working at it. As brought out earlier, it's work. It's a battle. But it means that we are becoming like God and cherishing His lives, His value of life. The goal set before us of being a priest in that kingdom we are learning about as the desired goal. To assimilate from one to the other, we have to give up the old standards, our habits. Quite often are bad habits. There are good habits. Bring them with you. The old ones. Do we build up and put on the new man at the expense of the old? That is true of the past, of the present, and even of the future. You know, brethren, even after America is taken down, that's coming, and punished for her godless way, those who take America down will need to assimilate. I missed something here. I think this is in Jeremiah. I've forgotten and did not write down the exact scripture, so I'm just going to read it here. Starting in verse 14, though, by the way. Thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out of the house of Judah from among them. Then it shall be, after I have plucked them out, that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back. Now, these talk about the nations that have taken Israel down. It happened back then, and it's going to happen again. He will bring everyone to his heritage and everyone to his land. And it shall be, verse 16, if they will learn carefully the ways of my people, to swear by my name as the Lord lives. As they used to teach my people to swear by Baal. Then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation. Even in the future, if these nations do not assimilate, God will destroy them. You can't have it both ways. And we know about in the future, rain is going to be withheld from certain nations that don't obey. God said it back then, He means it today. True, Christ will rule all nations. No exceptions. It's His world. It's His kingdom to be. But today is the last day of unleavened bread. Last Sabbath was the start of the 7-week period, so only 6 weeks from in 2 days. That's the amount of time that we have left before Pentecost, an important period of time, and our assimilation efforts should be apparent to God during that time. Pentecost represents reaping the first fruits of our labor, the picture of giving of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is given only by God's grace at His will to those people who are assimilating into His family. So happy assimilating, brethren. We'll see you then.